And welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name's Mark Cuniberti, your economic forum, discussing money, life, and the stock market. And glad you could join me today. It's show 345, on the air since 2005, covered on about 67 nationwide radio stations and in six newspapers for sure. So we have to begin by saying this is show 345. And my name's Mark Cuniberti once again. And the show today is entitled Capitulation and Market Tells. But before we begin, please be advised that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. And the indices I may mention today are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. And past performance is no guarantee of future results, and investing involves risk. So make sure you can tolerate risk before investing. And remember, Money Matters is about money, as money is matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. Your lives and livelihood, in short, Money Matters is about you. Well, is it over? Is the market rout over? I decided to name this show Capitulation and Market Tells. Market Tells, you'd say, well, what does it tell and what do we look for? The continuing erosion of stock markets, if you didn't know or you forgot, is a painful event. And like the latest 7-week period, going on 8 weeks pretty soon, since starting about the first of the year, the NASDAQ actually started cratering, reversing mid-November, NASDAQ technology stocks and the rest. But most of the market has been coming apart since January 1st. The market has seemingly fell. The market has fallen, well, the Dow 10 or 11%, the NASDAQ much more for sure, and the S&P and the Russell, those various indexes have fallen different amounts. But it seemingly has been like nonstop since January 1st. And we're into the first part of March. And today, which is March 1st, I recorded this show a little bit earlier, it's down another 600. So the last couple of weeks has been interrupted by a couple of up days, but not many. So we've seen a lot of pain here for sure, and most of it has been seen in the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ continued, like I said, to start in mid-November, crashed 18%, then 20%, then 22%. And although no one can forecast market direction with 100% certainty, right, these prolonged, slow-motion type of crashes usually just don't peter out and grind to a halt. Simply put, when a market starts a descending type of pattern and continually just erodes week after week, it can take what is known as a capitulation event. A capitulation event is a certain event where it means to basically give up. Wikipedia describes it as to surrender or give up. In financial terms, the term is used to indicate the point in time when investors have decided to give up on trying to recapture lost gains as a result of falling stock prices and just kind of throw their hands up. There is a thing called averaging down that people do when markets start to fall. As markets begin to fall, or even a stock begins to fall, many investors will step up and buy more shares of a stock they might already own, thinking they will average their cost down by buying more shares at a lower price. So, for an example, an investor buys 100 shares of a company at a price of $10. His cost for the 100 shares at 10 bucks is therefore $1,000. Then let's say the share price drops to $5. So he thinks, well, I'll buy 100 more at $5, and now I'll have 200 shares at an average cost of $7.50. So he bought 100 at $10 and 100 at $5, And if you average those two out, you get 750. This averaging down is very common with investors. Now, I don't believe in averaging down. And I believe in averaging up. And the reason is because if I have a clothing shop and I sell a dress that people don't want, I don't go ahead and buy more because the supplier makes them cheaper. What I do if I have a dress that is selling a lot, the supplier may raise the price of the dress, but I buy more because it's in demand. So I don't like to buy a stock that's falling because it's falling for a reason. And usually when you're trying to buy a stock that's falling, you are basically trying to catch a falling knife. In other words, we do not know when the stock will stop falling, and we just buy more just on, well, it's down, I'm going to buy more. So that's called averaging down. I don't believe in doing that. I believe in averaging up. When a stock is running, you buy more of a stock that people want, right? Makes sense. So in a prolonged market crash, the slow motion erosion of stocks continues to pressure portfolio balances, and it's painful, just down and down and down and down. And as it starts down, some people will average down and start to buy more. What happens when you average down like this? This can prolong what was a brief market setback into the stair-stepping down of market, where the market's general direction is down, but the downward bias is interrupted by bouts of buying from people that average down or think they're going to guess a bottom. You can't guess a bottom. Never try to guess a bottom. If the market continues down for whatever reason, and in the case of the 2022, our current obliteration, it is inflation, exasperated by the Russian-Ukraine idiocy, those that averaged in and bought stocks on the way down in the last 7 weeks have now seen their losses accelerate, where if they would have not bought stock and the stock market came down about 5%, they would have seen a 5% loss. If they averaged in, they might see a 7.5% loss or more. In cases like these, where a prolonged market erosion seemingly never ends, they just don't, like I say, usually just don't peter out. They just don't stop falling. What we normally see, not always, because no one can forecast market direction, neither can I, but what we commonly see is what we call a capitulation event. This event takes the form of an all-out panic type of crash. So it might look like day after day, the Dow's down 300 and 200 and 300 and 400 and up maybe 50 and then down 300, 400. Capitulation would be one day you wake up and the market drops 2,000. That's when people are the most bleak. These capitulation events happen because they have reached the point of giving up and they just said, get me out at any cost. They're usually brief. Can be half a day, one day, 2 days. But it takes the indexes down hard and scares the hell out of you. It usually goes down a multiple or many multiples of the previous sell-offs witnessed as the crash progressed. Now, in the most recent event, after 7 weeks of brutal stock erosion, the evening, Wednesday, February 23rd, showed stock futures, which was a pre-indicator that estimates the following day show that the stock market was going to be down a whopping 800 plus points. So futures showed that the market the next day, because I can see that, it'll say, gee, the market's probably going to be down tomorrow. It gives me a number. They were down 800 points in the Dow. So after 7 weeks of erosion, the 800 point hard down indication was frightening to see for those that look at such things, such as myself. I saw that, I went, ooh, tomorrow's going to be kind of a not a good day. But then I thought, okay, this was maybe capitulation. Indeed, I penned an email to clients and to my fellow advisors saying, this may be capitulation here. We may finally have capitulation. Indeed, when the market opened up on Thursday the 24th, it started hard down again, which what the futures said it would do, and it looked like capitulation. Buyers had all but evaporated, and it appeared an all-out panic had gripped market participants. However, I was kind of glad to see it. I said, oh, that's capitulation. Within hours, apparently there was some realization that prices had fallen too far and too fast and for too long. Some buyers stepped in, and the stocks came off their lows and closed Thursday off their lows. That was good. What seemed like the start of a very bleak day may have actually signaled the capitulation event that the market needed to see before it could finally halt this prolonged erosion that we've seen for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now, the time that I penned this article that I'm reading to you, although only time will tell if we're indeed out of the woods, as far as a continuing market crash, Friday, the next day, was up big, 800 points. Monday, which was the end of February, it started down hard 600 or so and ended up only down 166. And some stocks were up, so there were some buyers stepping in. On the 1st of March, the market again hit down hard 600 points. And we'll tell the rest of that story on the next show, because I'm recording this on the 1st of March. And I don't know how it's going to end, but hopefully what we need to see now is not a rebound in a V, okay? We don't need to see the market go down for 7 weeks and then shoot right back up. That's not a healthy correction. It's called a B correction. What we need is more of a W. What we need right now is chop or churn. We need the market to bounce around, and it's doing this as a climax, what we call a climax bottom. Usually when things are going to turn, we get stock redistribution. And if, let's say, a climax bottom is when the market finally stops its continual erosion and sees a capitulation event, then it has a climax bottom where it bounces wildly up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And that's kind of what it's doing now. The same thing happens at the top. The markets go up and up and up and up, and then they bounce up and down and up and down and up and down very violently at the top. That's called a climax top. So we may be seeing a climax bottom. Maybe. No one can predict market movements. Remember that. So stock market crashes start. Stocks start to go down. They start to erode for a long period of time, constantly eroding, very intense, long pain. Buyers occasionally step in trying to guess a bottom. They try to average down. Doesn't work. They lose more and more money. Market accelerates. Then it has a capitulation period where it just gets hammered. Then it chops around rather violently, known as a capitulation, a climax bottom, and then mellows out and then can start to go back up again. So that's kind of what we're looking for, is now not a V-shaped recovery, but kind of like chop. And so we'll see what happens. I'll have more comments to make on the markets, and then we'll go on with the show. But let's take a brief musical interlude. And for those of you that are looking at balances and seeing red and losing sleep, I can assure you this will end, okay? And the main concern right now, to me, in my opinion, is not war. It is inflation and what the Feds will do to stop it. But with the war, what the Feds will do to stop it will probably be tapered a little bit. Because I think with the war, the Feds realize that this is upsetting the market. So to tame inflation, the Feds were going to increase interest rates. Usually they do it by a quarter of a point. I think they were going to do a half a point. But I think because of the war and the market still being upset, they're probably going to go revert back from doing it from a half a point back to a quarter point, at least on the first increase for sure. So inflation and the Fed's response to it is the main concern for this market, in my opinion. It's not the war. The war is a sideshow. It's not a sideshow for those that are in it, obviously. It's a horrendous event. Man killing man again. But for the markets, I don't really think it's a main event. I know people thinking about nuclear war and all sorts of, you know, I think it's probably going to be settled. I don't believe Putin wants to occupy Ukraine. He just wants part of it, where all the resources are. But I know he thinks that, you know, going into Ukraine and staying there, it's very tough to occupy a country. They couldn't do it with Afghanistan. Neither could we. Or Iraq. And I don't think he wants to do that. But he does want some of the resources, for sure. Okay, we'll be right back with Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti.
I'm working for a living. Hey, I'm not complaining cause I really need to work. But hitting up my buddies got me feeling like a jerk. $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. They're giving cause I'm working for a living.
Welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Yes, no one can predict market movements at any time. You know, I might mention, besides the capitulation event, which we covered in the first part of the show, there is something called climax tops and climax bottoms. Now, what that means is we get a slow erosion of a market or a slow climb, okay, and then we get a capitulation event, panic, all-out sell, or in the case of an upward motion, we get a mania, an all-out buy, everybody buys. Then we get chop, churn, which means once it reaches the top, bounces around pretty wildly. Once it reaches the bottom, bounces around pretty wildly. But the magnitude of the bounces are very, very sharp. So in other words, the market falls. Then we see a capitulation event, which is a complete wipeout. And then the market bounces wildly. But like down 500, up 500, down 500, up 500. And that's maybe what we're seeing now is the climax bottom. The same event takes place in the upward direction. Stocks rise and rise and rise, and then we see a mania and stocks go absolutely crazy. That's capitulation on the other side of the coin. And then the top of the stock market or the top of the stock, particular company, the individual stock bounces wildly, and that's a climax top. So these violent moves we're seeing, up 600, down 600, up 600, down 600, could be a climax bottom. It's just redistribution of stock. And it's how it all comes together in the sociology of all the buyers and sellers and what it looks like on a chart. So the markets obviously continue to remain volatile. I can't say that the downward bias still exists. I mean, it does kind of because of this war thing. But basically the bias was for the first 2 months of 2022 downward. But we could be in a churning pattern now. Hard to say. You probably have experienced, if you own stocks, the excruciating pain of seeing numbers and dropping balances red on your screens. Now, much of this, some will say, is the fault of policymakers, both in addressing the COVID crisis and the massive amount of money creation given out to consumers and businesses alike to address COVID, causing massive inflation. And, of course, we have Vladimir Putin, the ex-KGB agent now in charge of the Soviet Union, also known as Russia, and doing his insane movements. And so we have a variety of things that are causing this market to do what it's doing. I cannot really say that this is the fault of any one person, because I don't believe the war is the only reason why this is happening. Like I said before, I think the real threat is inflation and what the feds will do in response to that. But the war may have dampened down the Fed's enthusiasm to raise interest rates a little bit, because they see the markets all upset about this Ukraine-Russia thing. I don't think I've changed my position on COVID. I don't think it could have been stopped. I keep saying that's my opinion. I don't know if masks did any good, and the shutdown surely did. I mean, you can argue that, but COVID didn't really stop until the Omicron virus variant, which was highly contagious and not as deadly. And so, you know, we had to shut down for 2 years and the virus didn't really care. You know, we had more Omicron cases toward the end of this thing than we ever did. So what the hell good was shutdowns? And what was good was masks, and what good was social distancing? We don't know. Nobody can really tell me. I know you can show me scientific studies that said that it did good, and I could show you scientific studies that said that it didn't do anything. So we don't know. I don't know. You don't know. All I know is that we sure as hell didn't see COVID go away, did we? Finally, it's going away only because we have a milder version of it. My opinion only. We'll never know. I could be wrong, and so could you. So I can't say that any one person is at fault for this market. I can say that the shutdowns didn't help, and then the feds manufactured trillions, literally trillions of dollars to address the shutdowns, and now we're paying the price in inflation. And so it's impossible to go back in time and take the opposite route that we took and compare the results. Maybe in another universe we could, but not now. So fast forward to today's markets, and the issue believed to be responsible, at least for this week, is the Ukrainian border crisis and the worst inflation in decades. And although the U.S. itself holds no blame for what Russia is doing, the inflation part is argued to be the result of overly generous unemployment, bailout, and stimulus programs instigated to address COVID shutdowns and slowdowns, which came from Washington, both administrations. Whereas the Russia crisis is serious and has taken the spotlight off of inflation, and the Federal Reserve's predicted actions to address inflation, which is raising interest rates, I believe, my opinion, the Russian crisis may pass without culminating in a major event, at least not for us. But I think they will work it out. Might not be the solution everybody wants, but I think they will work it out. I don't think war will become of it between the most powerful nations. In my opinion, what the Fed does to address inflation is the real threat to markets. And once the war gets over, when it does, the focus will be right back on the feds. And so I can't say there's any good news in the future, except the world is opening up again. States are lifting the masks mandates, and people are opening up and going out and traveling, and countries are lifting their mask and vaccination mandates. So some sanity remains in the world. And the political infighting is nice to see not happening as well as much as it did during 16, 17, 18, during the Trump administration. Personally, I think Biden doesn't have a clue. That's my opinion. And we really don't know who's running the country. And I think most people will agree with that. We don't know who's running the country. I'm sure that it isn't Joe Biden. But again, that's my opinion. But we'll see. what happens. It is interesting times that we live in, for sure. So what the Fed does to address inflation is the real threat. The increase of interest rates, as I mentioned, can crack markets, has done it before. 1994, 2001, 2006, the Federal Reserve tried to raise interest rates and crack the market and back down in each of those cases. So they may do it again, try to raise interest rates and back down. It's basically print until the cows come home. And if they try to slow the printing, the market will turn and they'll give up and go back to heroin for the economy. You can't be really overly concerned about the interest rate increases because there are statistics. As mentioned on CNBC, they quoted a Kensho statistic, K-E-N-S-H-O, website. And they looked at six periods of rate increases since 1988. The results that they published came from the start of the interest rate increases, which we haven't seen yet, until they stopped raising rates, when the Fed stopped. So let's say the Fed had six increases, took 9 months. The Kensho stats looked at that and what happened to the markets after it stopped, after they stopped raising interest rates. Well, they, on an average, consumer discretionary stocks gained 47%. Those are luxury non-essential items, things that you want to buy, but you don't have to buy. Technology stocks, were up 47%. Consumer discretionary was up 31%. Financial stocks were up 30%. Industrial stocks were up 29%. Materials went up 27%. What this indicates is that although rate increases by the Fed are initially taken very seriously by investors, and we are, there have been many instances where rate increases have initially hammered stocks, and then historical precedent that said that where some investors ran scared because of a fear of interest rate increases, stocks actually went up. So not all may be lost. All right. That does it for today's edition of Money Matters. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. And remember, today's show is not meant as individual investment advice, nor a solicitation to buy, sell any securities. Consult a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions and do your own research before investing. No one can predict market movements at any time, and past performance may not result in a guarantee of future performance. I hold California Insurance License OL34249 and I'm a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. My name is Mark Cunaberti. God bless. Have a great day. And yes, this will end as well. Hopefully not the world, but all the negative things that are happening in it right now. Have a great day.